I believe God has a good word for you tonight, but let me just say this. You guys are going to have to put on your thinking caps a little bit tonight. I want you to really think about the word of God and what's being presented. And so don't let me lose you, but pay close attention. If you brought your Bibles tonight, turn them with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and we're going to start reading in verse number 1. All right, the Bible says in John 13, 1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, and the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he was girded with." Now, evidently, according to the verses we just read, Jesus came to a place and time in his life where he realized, hey, my time on earth has come to an end. It's time for me to complete the thing that God has given to me. It's, as we just read, the Bible says that it was his time to depart out of the world and to go on to be with the Father, all right? And so, you know, as you study the Gospels, as you look throughout the New Testament and Jesus' ministry, you'll find that, you know, it's not like Jesus came to John chapter 13 and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I have to die on the cross. No, he knew all throughout his ministry that he was going to have to go to the cross, all right? But after reading these verses, it's almost as if Jesus came to the realization, now is the time. My ministry is coming to an end. It's almost as if the Holy Spirit came to him and said, all right, Jesus, it's time for you to depart from the world. It's time for you to finish the thing that God's given you. And so let's be honest tonight, without getting morbid or without getting weird or without, you know, any of that. As young adults, you and I, we really don't think about dying, right? Can I have a witness in the house? All right, and don't get me wrong, we shouldn't be thinking about dying. God wants you to enjoy life. God's got good things in store for you. You shouldn't be waking up every morning or going to bed every night thinking about, oh my gosh, you know, when does the end of my life come in? When am I going to, all right? And because, you know, God wants, like I said, God wants you to enjoy life. The Bible says that he's come to give you and I life, and life more abundantly. He wants us to enjoy our youth, all right? But, so let's just take a moment. Let's pretend that years have gone by. All right, let's say now that you're 80 years old. Mark, what would you look like when you're 80? Let's say you're 80 years old, 90 years old, 100 years old, all right? And God comes to you and says, you know what, son, you know what, daughter? You've done all that I've asked you to do, and it's time for you to come home to be with me. So next Friday evening, after you fall asleep, I'm just going to take you home to be with me, all right? So gather all your family together and say your goodbyes for the time being. Praise God, just for the time being. Say your goodbyes and go over the memories. And so I think that you would agree with me that if that happened sometime during the family gathering, yes, we would go over the memories. We'd talk about, man, I remember this time when such and such happened. I remember I had this great time. But I think you would agree with me that at the age of 80, at the age of 90, the age of 100, at some point in time during the family gathering, you would sit down with your family and begin to share with them the things that they needed to know in order to be a success after they left. Wouldn't you agree with that? All right, Moses actually in Deuteronomy chapter 31, he realizes, you know what? I'm not going to be around forever and ever, and amen. It's my time to go. I've completed my ministry before God, and so Moses gathers all the children of Israel together, and he begins to share with them and to pour into their lives the things that they needed to know in order for them to be a success after he left. He pulls Joshua aside. Joshua did the same. Joshua became the commander-in-chief of Israel, if you will, after Moses. And Joshua did the same thing. In Joshua chapter 23 and Joshua chapter 24, Joshua comes to the realization, you know what? My ministry has come to an end. It's time for me to depart and go home. And so what does Joshua do? He gathers his people together, and he begins to share with them and to pour into their lives and to talk about the things that they need to know in order to be a success after he's gone. Are you with me so far? All right, and so here in John chapter 13, Jesus is doing the same thing. Jesus, I find it interesting that Jesus, it says that when his hour had come, when his hour had come, he gathered together his disciples, he gathered together his loved ones, and he begins to pour into their life the things that they needed to know in order to be a success after he is gone. All right? In John chapter 13, in John chapter 14, in John chapter 15, in John chapter 16, and in John chapter 17, you'll find this portion of scripture is packed full of the teachings of Jesus. If you have a red letter edition Bible, you can see that probably like 3 to 6 pages is just all red. All right? Packed full of the teachings of Jesus, because when Jesus realized his time was come, he gathered all his disciples together, all of his loved ones together, and began to share with them the important things. All right? Now, if you read in John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, Jesus talks about a number of different things, all right? But there's two major things that Jesus talks about, all right? The first one is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, all right, in and through the life of a believer. Did you get that? I'm going to say it one more time. The first major theme, the first major subject you'll find Jesus talking about throughout from John 13 to John 17 is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in and through the life of a believer. All right, the second major thing you'll find Jesus talking about is the subject of love. How we as Christians ought to walk in love, how love ought to be operating in our lives, all right? And so tonight, I just want to talk to you about one, and it's the first one, and it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in and through the life of a believer. Are you guys getting this? I know we're covering a lot of ground here, doing a lot of groundwork, but I believe you'll be blessed by the end of the service. So you're there in John chapter 13. Turn over to John chapter 14, and let's start reading in verse 16, what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." And you can underline this next phrase in your Bible, "the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." All right, you're there in John chapter 14. Turn to the right one more time to John chapter 15, in verse 26. John 15, 26, and watch what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. He says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father," watch this next phrase again, "the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." All right, now if you turn one more time to the right to John chapter 16. And we're going to read verse 13. This is what the Bible says. It says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth," notice that phrase again, "has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will tell you things to come." All right, so that's better. All right, so John 16, 13, the Spirit of truth, all right? So let's get this straight, all right? Jesus said in John 14, John 15, and John 16, Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. Are you with me so far? He said that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. He will show us things to come. He will teach us all things, and he'll bring everything back to our remembrance, all right? Now listen, guys, you've got to get this next phrase I'm about to say, all right? So are you ready? Come on, are you ready in the house tonight? All right. When Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit and his ministry in and through our lives, Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit more as a revealer of truth than he did as a worker of miracles. Did you get that tonight? Let me say that one more time just to make sure everybody's got it, all right? When Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit and his ministry, he referred to the Holy Spirit more as a revealer of truth than he did as a worker of miracles. Did you get that? So let's be honest about it. If tonight we're in here and we're laying hands on people and you know, people's arms are growing out and their legs are growing out and, you know, their eyes are, you know, they're missing an eye and all of a sudden it comes in by the power of God, or they're missing an ear or whatever it is, how many of you realize that we'd be on the edge of our seat? We'd be paying attention. We'd be taking notes. We'd be ready. We'd be taking in everything that's going on, right? But when it comes to church, when it comes to... I might bring my Bible tonight. I don't know. I'll leave it at home, whatever. And I hear people say, you know, is that all there is to Christianity? Just reading my Bible and praying? But how many of you realize that the important thing here is that the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us? How many of you realize it's not going to be the miraculous side of the Holy Spirit that saves our marriages from difficulty? It's going to be the truth-revealing side of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Are you in here tonight? If you want a promotion on your job, it's not going to be the miraculous side of the Holy Spirit that comes on your behalf. And don't get me wrong, when God reveals truth and you begin to walk in his ways, miraculous things happen. All right? But it's going to be the teaching side of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be his truth revealing side that's going to cause us to be all that God wants us to be and cause us to do all that God wants us to do. You know, the Christian life is not like the Matrix where you can just kind of plug in a little disc into a computer and a wire to the back of your head and you know you've got everything. All right, it's going to be the Holy Spirit and his teaching ministry that's going to come alongside and begin to show you things out of the Word to help you grow, to help you, like I said, be all that God has called you to be. I like what Pastor Jim says. He says, God set you free so you can get the truth that will make you free. Are you in here tonight? God set you free so you can get the truth that'll make you free. All right? So tonight, speaking of the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, his truth-revealing side, I thought it'd be fun just to share with you three quick truths that the Holy Spirit has revealed to my life personally. And I actually have a story at the end, too. So, number one, I've entitled the first point, Let Him Hear. All right? Mark, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And we're going to read in verse number 9. Jesus gives the parable of the sower here before this verse. And really, you can find this verse all throughout the New Testament, all throughout the Bible, actually. And Jesus says, and he said to them, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. I remember when I was in Bible college, that happened 7 years ago. When I was thinking about this, I was like, oh my gosh, 7 years has gone by so fast. But I was in Bible college 7 years ago, graduated, did 2 years back in Oklahoma. And I remember from time to time, I'd have this issue come up. I'd struggle with, you know, God, I don't know. I don't know if I hear your voice. I don't know if I sit in service. I read my Bible. I hear these different men, mighty men and women of God talk about, you know, God told me this at such and such a time, and this happened, and God told me that, and I was saved from this. And I'm thinking to myself, man, God, I really don't know if I hear your voice. All right. And so I remember after that, after my first year, it was summertime, and we had a conference at the church of the Bible College. And he's still one of my best friends to this day. His name is Todd. Todd was there with me, and he introduced me to this one of his friends. And so here I am sitting on this. We had pews over at this college. How many of you guys know what pews are? All right, cool. Half of you. A pew is like a big long seat, kind of like a couch. Anyways, so we're sitting on this pew, right? And my good friend Todd is next to me, and this guy that I just met is on the other side. And this preacher gets up, and he's talking about, basically his sermon was just all about hearing God's voice and what God had said to him. So he's going through these different things, and all of a sudden he brings up this verse, and he starts talking about how he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And all of a sudden, as he's talking about this, the Holy Spirit began to minister to my heart and said, Joey, do you have an ear to hear? And I said, yes, Lord, I haven't, you know, here I'm questioning if I can hear God's voice. I'm talking to him, right? So, Joey, do you have an ear to hear? Yes, Lord. Then hear. It's my will that you hear. All right? And so all of a sudden I realize this, and the Holy Spirit's ministering to my heart, and I'm just like, the whole last 15 to 20 minutes of the sermon, I'm like bawling in this pew, squished in between these two guys, right? And it looked like somebody threw a water balloon at my face, and it just like, you know, blew up. And so it wasn't like all obnoxious, like I'm like, you know, all out loud. But I couldn't stop crying. And after a while, I'm wiping my tears, and it's getting all over my hands. It's just all over my face, and I'm wiping my jeans. And I'm thinking, man, this guy next to me I just met, he thinks I have issues. I need to get saved tonight. But how many of you realize it was the truth revealer? It was the Spirit of truth who came into my life and spoke something to my heart from his word that set me back on the right track. Amen? Are you in here tonight? I'm preaching a little bit better than you're shouting, but that's all right. All right, so let him hear. So tonight, if you have an ear to hear, man, God wants you to hear his voice. And so I realized, to make a long story short, I realized I had been hearing God's voice. I had been following him. That's the whole reason I got to Bible college and where I was. Because if you have an ear to hear tonight, God wants you to hear. All right, number two, that was let him hear. Number two, life and possessions. I've titled Life and Possessions. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, we're going to start reading in verse 15. Life and possessions. Just a few little few truths that God has revealed to me over time. How many of you realize that a large portion of our life, a large majority of our life is spent accumulating things? How many of you realize that? Can I get a witness in the house? Man, you guys are so quiet tonight. That's right. You know, we'll go to work 40 hours a week to collect this thing called the paycheck, to get money so that we can get food, so that we can get clothes. And so we spend a large portion of our life accumulating things, all right? And in fact, if you look at today's day and age, today's world, they're completely overtaken by this thing of getting things, all right? It's all about the new house. It's all about the new car, the hot rims, the you name it, all right? And so they're completely overtaken in this thing, I've got to get stuff, all right? And so I remember there was a time in my life, and God really ministered to me through this verse. Let's read it. It's in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. It says, and he said to them, take heed, be careful, and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And so the Holy Spirit began to minister to my heart, Joey, life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things you possess. Joey, don't you know that? You know, the Bible says that not even a sparrow, a little bird, can fall to the ground without your Heavenly Father knowing. Of how much more value are you to God than they? Joey, look at the lilies of the field. How they don't work, they don't have a job. The Bible says they neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was arrayed like one of these. So Joey, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Because it's not in the, life does not consist, and your life is not defined by the things that you possess and the abundance of the things you possess. Are you in here tonight? Life is going to take a person of character, a person of integrity. Life is going to take a person who diligently seeks after God. Possessions can't give you those things. Possessions can't make you who God wants you to be and God has for you to be. Amen? So three truths revealed. Number one was let him hear. You can hear God's voice. Number two, life and possessions. Jesus reminds us that life does not consist of the things we possess. And finally, number three, long life. And so if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 91. Psalm chapter 91. We're going to read out of verse 16. Psalms is in the center of your Bible, just in case you don't know. Psalm 91, 16. I still hear pages turning. The Bible says, Psalm 91, 16, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So I just want to end by telling you a story. There's a great minister by the name of Brother Hagin, and you don't have to know who that is. That's not important. But Brother Hagin, he recently passed away between, he's either 84 or 86. I don't remember which one. But Brother Hagin, he was born with a deformed heart and an incurable blood disease. The day he was born, the doctors never had any hope for him. He was just, you know, we don't know exactly when, but it's just going to come like, and you're not going to be here anymore. And so Brother Hagin, luckily, he actually made it up to age 16. He had a lot of problems, and at age 16, he was bedridden, all right, because his heart and his blood were just causing too much of a problem. So he's bedridden. And if you listen to his testimony, he actually died three times in his mom's arms. Just his heart quit working, and he went away, and he came back, luckily. And so how many realize if that happened to you, you'd get into the Word of God, man. God, how do I get healed? Like right now, right? So anyways, Brother Hagin gets into the Word of God, and keep in mind he's bedridden. And over the process of a couple years, Brother Hagin gets healed, all right? So he recalls the day when he knew that God had done something in his body, and so he told his mom. He said, "You know what, Mom? I'm going to be at breakfast tomorrow, because you know, being bedridden, he never got out of bed. His mom brought him all his meals, changed his clothes. I mean, the whole bit right there in his bed. So, Mom, I'm going to get out of bed, and tomorrow morning I'm going to come to breakfast." And she was like, "Okay, honey, that's okay." Kind of like, you know, in doubt and unbelief. So Brother Hagin wakes up the next day, and he goes to breakfast. And he talks about how, you know, his body was real weak because he had been bedridden for so long, and how he could basically just kind of finish breakfast and then go lay down again, right, because he was so tired. And so Brother Hagin falls asleep, and a couple hours later he wakes up and he hears this voice say to him, "It's appointed for every man once to die and then to face judgment. Today is your day to die, and you're going to go on and face judgment." Brother Hagin talks about how he knew that verse. He knew that's exactly, you know, what it says. And so he said for a couple hours, he was wrestling with this, I'm going to die. My life's coming to an end. And then all of a sudden, he says, "I heard this voice on the inside say to me, 'With long life will I satisfy you.'" And he said it was so real to him, he wanted to like turn around and say, "Who said that?" And so he was like, you know, where did that come from? A couple minutes later, that same other voice, "It's appointed to every man once to die and then to face judgment." Now, listen, guys, I'm not saying that, you know, you and I hear voices all the time, but you and I have thoughts all the time. Let's be honest about it, all right? So here, a couple minutes later, here's the same, you know, "It's appointed for every man once to die and then to face judgment. And today's your day to go home and to face judgment." And so he says after that second time he heard that, he started giving up. He says, "I started giving up my healing. I started thinking, man, today's my day." And he kind of sat in a chair by the window and kind of looked out, you know, like, this is it. And then that still small voice, one more time, on the inside of him, "With long life will I satisfy you." And all, he said it was so real to him again, he wanted to turn around and say, "Who said that?" All right? And so he had never read the verse, but after hearing that second time, he said, "Well, I better go find out what the Bible has to say about this." And he came across this verse. In Psalms 91:16, it says, "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." And after he read that, he said, "You know what, devil, you're a liar. Get out of my house. Get out of my life. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, and I'm going on with the Lord." And you guys know the rest of the story. He died, you know, living a great life, having a great ministry at the age of 84 and 86. So I say all that to say, who was it? It was the truth revealer. It was the Holy Spirit. It was his teaching ministry that came alongside Brother Hagin and spoke to him. So tonight, what is he speaking to you? What is he been speaking to you? What have you been hearing, and are you doing that? Jesus says that anybody who hears the sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a man who built his house on the rock, his life on the rock, all right? And when the storms came, when the rains fell and the winds blew, the house stood because it was founded upon the rock. Are you in here tonight? So, when Jesus knew that it was his time to depart out of this world and to go on to be with God, he talked about two things: the ministry of the Holy Spirit in and through the life of a believer, and then the subject of love. So, really what he was saying was,
as Christians, we ought to be ever learning, ever loving. If you got something out of the Word of God tonight, go ahead and give him a great big praise. I just want to bring up my friend Antonio one more time. He's going to do offering and announcements.
All right, let's give it up one more time.